Amen. God is good, isn't he? Yeah, he is. He is. You know, I was really blessed this week since you mentioned the Asian thing. I wasn't going to go there, but I will. You gave me just that much of a crack, so I'll take it. I was so blessed this week, Thursday, Friday this week, because for about 3 weeks, I've been trying to get a particular language to be able to download this particular language so that I can use it in Sri Lanka when I go back there in March. The north of Sri Lanka is all Tamil. They speak Tamil in the north of Sri Lanka. That's a language that Deepa is probably most familiar in. And so I've been trying to download it on my computer because all the material that I use is available to be put into different languages around the world, you see. And usually it's as simple as just putting a tick in the box, you know, so you have up here English, and there's an arrow next to it, and you just click on the arrow, and this big, long list of languages unfolds, and I've been clicking it for 3 weeks, and nothing's been happening. Very, very depressing, right? Well, no, I don't really get depressed. Challenging is probably a better way of putting it. And so, the annoyed, yeah, it shouldn't be, no, just challenging. Annoyed's a bad word, isn't it? I tell you what, man, it's like having a preacher over here. We're putting all these words in my ear. So anyway, I do it too, actually. Yeah. So anyway, after 3 weeks of trying, something happened and we did it right. And I was able to go to the site and I was able to put in pgunderwood2@gmail.com and then underneath that put in for the password multiply123. So many of you can do it now too, I suppose. And then the box comes up and I tick the box and is that the kind of noise that it would make if it could make a noise? It just goes from English into Tamil. Just like that. And I got so excited, I jumped in the car. I drove all the way up here just so I could show Deepa. All right, down the back there. Deepa, wave your hand. All right, so I showed Deepa and she was busy doing some boring stuff with figures for Tom, you know, some boring stuff. And I said, Deepa, let me release you from that boredom and tedium that Tom has consigned you to. Have a look at what I've got here. And so I just showed her. She can do it now. You put in pgunderwood@gmail.com. Tick the box. Wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. So I go home from Deepa and I get on the phone, WhatsApp. WhatsApp is free. So, you know, I can call somebody on WhatsApp in the other part of the world now for free. I bet you couldn't do that when you were my age about 60 years ago. All right? You couldn't do that, could you? You know, you had to wait for the right time and all of that. And now you just get WhatsApp and on off you go. And I rang Pastor Sheehan, who's the guy that I'm going to be training. Just amazing, man. And I rang him and I said, are you next to your computer? And he said, yep, I am. I said, so look, just go on the internet. Can you go on the internet? Is it okay to go on the internet right now? He says, yeah, I'm on the internet. I said, just go there and put in tm.guide. And he put it in, and the login page came up, and he put in pgunderwood2@gmail.com. He's doing this in Sri Lanka, right, in Colombo, Sri Lanka, and then he puts in multiply123, and it just right in front of him it changes from English to Tamil, and he said, wow, I can't read Tamil. So I said, all right, go back to the top again then and click on the box and put it back to English. You can read English, can't you? Yes, yes. So he does that. He goes back and he clicks on it. Back to English. He says, oh, Pastor, this is wonderful. So now they, listen to this though. This is what you guys are playing an important role in this. They're going to be translating that stuff into what's called Sinhalese. And that's a whole 30 million people. Just under 30 million people that are going to be able to get this material in their own language now because we're going to be translating it now into Sinhalese. Do you remember that old man that came here and I shouldn't have said that. Remember that senior gentleman from Sri Lanka that was here about a year ago and Tony, you thought he was speaking in Latin, but in actual fact he was speaking in tongues as he was praying for everybody? Well, that's Basil. Basil has already translated about half a dozen of those books into Sinhalese. you know, because he sees the importance of it all. So I am just so happy. I am just, it's wonderful that I'm going to be able to go off and these guys have gone. And this area, I don't know whether you know it, but you know, Sri Lanka, they had bombs go off in Sri Lanka last year and churches were blowing up, you know. So it's, when I was over there in, when was I there? November? October, when I was there in October, the fact of the matter is that I had soldiers guarding us. There were half a dozen soldiers with those AK-47s. So I went over them. You know, I hope you do this when you see a soldier. I appreciate you. I appreciate your service. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I thought, I'm going to be like an American to these guys. I walked up to them and I said, look, I appreciate your service. You know, and they smiled back at me. You know, every door is a door that can be opened, right? And so just taking every opportunity, the rain's pouring. I mean, Sri Lanka, the last time I left Sri Lanka, I never wanted to see that place again. It was hot. It was muggy. It rained all the time. I had a big lightning ball land around about where that window is over there, and it skipped all the way down an alleyway, followed the wires, and we're standing like that. There was a guy sitting there in a metal chair. He didn't get hit. I mean, and this is because it was in the rainy, the monsoon season for them. I stepped into one of their ditches. I thought my foot was going to rot and fall off. You know? So I'm going back there at what they say is the most beautiful time of the year. So God is good, isn't he? God is good. It's great. So there we go. A little bit about Asia. But one of the reasons I'm so happy is that I'm doing what God made me to do, all right? I'm doing what God made me for, and I'm happy doing that. If I was to prepare a sermon properly, which I don't think I've done for many, many years, the title for this, what I'm talking to you about, would be Finding Your Place and Doing Your Thing. Because I'm really happy because I'm in my place and I'm doing my thing. You know, now that phrase used to mean something completely different, didn't it, back in the day? You know, back in the 70s and 80s when everything was in a different color, you know? And I'm finding my place and doing my thing. Well, I'm redeeming that phrase. Because you see, what God does, this is what amazes me so much. What God does is that he creates each one of us. Now, every single person that's here this morning, you have been specifically created the way you are, because that's what God wanted. You got to understand this. You got to get a hold of this. It's fundamental. You're who you in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Before you can kind of look at it, and I know I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it again. Before the world was put into place, God had designed you and was just waiting for the right time. When the time fully comes, that's a phrase that's used throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, particularly of Jesus. When the time had fully come, in Galatians chapter 4, when the time had fully come for you to be born, you were born, and you were born how God wanted you to be born. Think about that, right? You're the person that God wants you to be. And now what happens is that, you know, we grow up and we very rapidly become what God doesn't want us to be. Amen? All right, I could walk through here and get a testimony from whoever I put my hand on, and they would be able to say what I used to be like. All right? I used to be, in fact, on Thursday night, we were looking at those little templates for doing testimonies, remember? And so it said at the beginning, use two words to describe what you were like before you met Christ. And so the two words that I put down were arrogant and domineering. Some people are saying, well, he's still like that. You know, I asked my wife in the early service, she says, well, you're better than you were. Yeah. So, what? Who said that? Yeah, a little bit better than I was. So, you know, we rapidly become what God doesn't want us to be. Amen? We do, don't we? We rapidly become what God doesn't want us to be. But the thing is, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they each play their role in enticing us away from what we were designed to be in God. That's what happened. The world entices us. with its various desires. The flesh has its desires and its lusts. And the devil, he just straight out just tempts us so that we never become. The devil's simple goal is that we never become the person God has designed us to be. I mean, he doesn't bother with anything else. Let me tell you something else. That the devil, he's not down in the pub. I don't think he's in here either. But he's right out there at the door waiting for you to come out this afternoon. He's right out there. Why? Because he wants to trip you up. He's already tripped them up. And I don't say that to denigrate them at all. All right? He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. And you know, in God. Like we sang this morning, thank God for music and worship. You know, make me, mold me, take me, Lord God. Make me the person you want me to be. Lead me, guide me, teach me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me where you want me to go. Walk out the door in confidence. And you'll see a whimpering devil over the other side of the street because he's scared of you. He's scared of you. Do you know, but if you leave any guilt and any shame in your life, if you leave it there, I'm sorry, I'm just being bombarded at the moment. But look, we've got to deal with guilt and shame. A lot of people, like my wife was explaining, that we're washed in the blood of Jesus. You know, and the fact of the matter is that when we're washed in the blood of Jesus, what happens is that though our sins were as scarlet, we become as white as snow, righteous before God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Righteous before God. We can stand before God without any fear. We can stand before God without any shame. I'm telling you, you can stand before God without guilt. Because part of the thing about being washed in the blood of Jesus, he doesn't just take your sin away and leave you guilty and shameful because you did that 20 years ago. Right? That's not what he does. He takes the guilt and the shame along with the sin and removes it from you as far as the east is from the west. Where that wonderful lady says he's put up a no fishing sign. No fishing here. Yeah. Corrie ten Boom said that. You know, there are times when our mind, or we might be somewhere downtown in the fourth largest city in the world where it's always exciting, you know. It might be that that's where we are, and we might see a trigger. You know, people, places, and things. You've all been to a recovery group, people, places, and things, right? And we see something that it might trigger off a taste. It might trigger off a memory of something, and then the shame floods in. And why did I think of that? You know, fact of the matter is that when that happens to you, you know, when one of your memories is triggered, when that happens, don't go down the shame path. You walk up the victory ladder. Amen? Don't go down the shame path. You walk up the victory ladder. You know what I'm saying? All right? You do that. Don't go down the shame path. Don't go down. You go down the shame path and it'll lead to a pit. I had somebody that you know, actually, somebody say to me yesterday, I've got to be careful. I get emotional when she's a great woman of God. And I was on WhatsApp to the other side of the world. And she says, Phil, I've been in a pit for 6 years. This is a woman who's spoken at conventions. I've heard her lead people to Christ. She's a powerful woman of God. She's been in a pit for 6 years. And I said, you're not meant to be in a pit. You're meant to be out. You are a person of capacity. You're a person who can minister to other people. You're a person who can bring life and health and hope. And her husband's going to speak to a group of churches where women have been downtrodden for years, and they're just coming out from under that oppression. And I said, you really should be going with them. I've heard you speak to such women. You need to. You've got something for them. She said, Phil, I haven't even got enough for myself. I can't even see to the top of the pit that I'm in. And that's what can happen, you see, if we go down the shame trap. It'll take us down and down and down and down until we can't get out. That's not what God wants for you. It is not what God wants for you. And we need to deal with this morning. And when you're faced by a memory that's triggered by some smell or some music, there was a piece of music, Isaiah and I, and we were talking about this, weren't we, Bronwyn? There was a piece of music, and folk couldn't understand why I did not like this piece of music, right? And it was because the guy who originally sang this piece of music was a rotten dog, and I knew he was. And whenever I heard this song, it reminded me of him and the stuff that he used to do. And I don't want to be reminded of that stuff anymore. So sometimes music can do that to us, right? Sometimes music can just trap us and take us down into that pit. Well, I'm saying to you this morning that you, when you were washed in the blood of Jesus, when were you washed in the blood of Jesus? You were washed in the blood of Jesus when you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life. It's just a simple little phrase, you know. Oh, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I want you to save me. I trust you to save me. Lord God, I trust you to deliver me. Lord God, I want to become your child. I want to be filled by your Holy Spirit. Oh, they're just simple little words, aren't they? They're just simple little words. But when we say them, that great big door of salvation opens, and we're washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's atoned for us. He's made the payment. It's done. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. He wasn't just talking about that sequence of events being finished. He was making a statement that resounded from history past to eternity future. It's finished. The devil's lost his grip on human beings. He's done for. It's finished. It's all over. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And that which was scarlet, this is Jeremiah speaking, isn't it? That which was scarlet has been washed whiter than snow. And that deals not only with sin, but with the shame and guilt that's associated with sin. Oh. Climb the ladder. Climb the ladder. Don't go down into the pit. Don't go down into the pit of shame. Climb the ladder and take the robe of righteousness. You have been clothed with a robe of righteousness. It comes from God Himself. It's not a clothing that's been made by any human hand. We have some pretty good dressmakers here. We've got people who can knit, who can crochet. My mum could crochet. My word, could she crochet? All right, you know, she'd be down there like this, crocheting those little doilies, going cross-eyed in the process. You know, she could really do it. But man, we're talking about a hand and an eye that is far more coordinated than that. We're talking about the eye of God and the hand of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that can look right into our hearts and into every nook and cranny. If we stand here and we say, we are available to you, every part of my life is available to you. If we stand here and we dare to say that, then he will go into every nook and cranny of our life. He will be better than any cleaning company that we know of. All right? He will go even under the into the door that's under the stairs, and he'll sort that little closet out for you. All right? How many closets have you got that you need God to go through now? Just say, God, clean the closet. Have you got the courage to do that? God, clean the closet. I haven't been there for years, but clean the closet. I don't want anybody to go in there. Clean the closet. Clean it out. Clean us out, Lord God. And he'll go in and we'll be washed whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. So I'm just so happy. I gave you a sermon title. I haven't been anywhere near it since. But I'm so happy with the songs that you led us in this morning, Mike. The salvation, goodness me, we can say salvation, 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 salvation. And all it is a word. But when we say salvation, it's something that's gripped our hearts and delivered us, and we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Some people talk about new creation realities. You see, we're not called to stumble along under the weight of guilt and shame. I think it was Greg that preached about 4 weeks ago, and he used that scripture where Paul is speaking in Corinthians about the old man. The old man is Adam. What did the old man do? What did the earthly man do? The earthly man fell. And as a result, all of us, we went down into the pit, in a manner of speaking. This whole world, I'm going to use a phrase shortly to describe this world, dung heap. Compared to what it can be, this world, hey, you know, we stand in front of the Niagara Falls and such things. But God, what He has is so much greater than that. This world is a dung heap compared to what God has for you. All right? So we have this old man. We have this earthly man. That's Adam. And a man came 2,000 years ago, died on the cross. God came, incarnate. He came and He dwelt amongst us. He died on the cross. He paid the price. Do you know today that there are so many people I don't believe in the atonement. I don't believe in penal substitution. I don't believe that God had to, Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. There's a lot of people that are saying that. You know, they are. There's a lot of people, a lot of notable figures are saying that. Don't listen to them. Jesus came to pay the price for the humankind of sin. Sins, I've put that all wrong, but He came to pay the price for our sin. Humankind was set free because we were redeemed by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Amen? Amen? And so we're redeemed. And what happens to somebody that's redeemed? You know, it's the old slave phrase. You're up on the block, and you can either be sold into slavery or you can be redeemed into freedom. We are redeemed into freedom. Amen? We are redeemed into freedom. We are redeemed in the freedom. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Let the people of the Lord say so. We are redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. We're not under that curse of the law. We're not under the curse of the law. We're not under the curse of sin, which leads to death. We're not under that anymore. We are of a new people. We are of the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the heavenly man. And we are saved by the heavenly man. And His pleasure is that, having become the firstborn of many brethren, it was His desire that He have many brothers and sisters. Many brothers and sisters. Actually, that scripture is actually on one of the overheads that I had prepared for you, which I've totally forgotten what order they're meant to be in. So just, you know, it's up there somewhere. All right. So here we are. We belong to a new life. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. And some people talk about these new creation realities. We need to talk about new creation realities. The two words that applied to me were arrogant and domineering. We're often encouraged to believe in ourselves, you know? And so we believe in ourselves so much that we become arrogant about ourselves. That's old man thinking. That's earthly thinking. There's another phrase, seize the day, right? Now, so often, when we seize the day, we can seize somebody else's day in the process. That is old thinking. The new creation realities are that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so therefore I'm going to walk in love and peace and joy and kindness and happiness. These are new creation realities that we're called to walk in. I'm going to hand out, what's the time? I'm going to hand out something shortly. I didn't want to give it to you earlier in the service because you'll all read it if I give it to you. But I'm going to give you an extremely dangerous document if you're still living under the old man. I'm going to give you a document or an article that is going to lead you in spiritual warfare for yourself. all right? And some of you, you might even call me during the week, and you might get a little bit nasty with me. How dare you hand out this article? How dare you give us a, it's okay, it's okay. I don't want to know how it's impacting you. It's between you and God, all right? I'm going to give that out in a moment. But here we are, and we're to live and develop these new creation realities. Not put prosperity at the top of the list, constantly thinking about cash and shares and retirement funds and all that kind of stuff. We've got to do that, but don't make it number one. Constantly thinking about our popularity. What do other people think of me? You know, constantly thinking about, these are things that Greg brought up, constantly thinking about, so we think about cash, we think about prosperity, we think about popularity. What else do we think about? We think about pleasure, you know. We think about power. We're not to put these things number one. You see, and if we were living as the old man, if we're living as the earthly man, we will make those things more important than they should be. The most important thing for us is that we are to make ourselves available to God as people who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God, so that He can make us more Christ-like, more like Him, not like the first Adam, but more like Christ. And I pray that. I pray that every second day of my life. I pray for other things on the other day. But every second day of my life, I say, God, I want to know You, and I want to make You known. I want to become more like Christ. I want to become more like Jesus Christ. I don't want to become more like Drew. I don't want to become more like Tom. I don't want to become more like you, Rob. I don't want to become more like anybody else that's here. I don't want to become more like some of the great names that we have on TV. I want to become more like Christ. You see, if I take any of the great names that are on TV, any of the great preachers, like we really admire Graham Cook, but I'm not to be like Graham Cook. You're not to be like Graham Cook. You're to be who you are, and I'm to be who I am. Graham Cook is to be who he is. And if we follow Christ, all of us together, we will become more Christ-like, maybe through the ministry of Graham Cook. All right? So most of you won't know who Graham Cook is. He's just a great, he's a great preacher. He's a great teacher of the Word of God. He's got quite a prophetic edge to him. He's very, very good. Comes from out the west somewhere. And I could have picked any other name. I was watching Robert Morris last Sunday afternoon. What a great preacher of the Word of God that man is. I could sit there and say, wow, I'm going to watch everything Robert Morris is doing so that I can preach like Robert Morris. You know, no, that's not what any of us are meant to do. What we're meant to do is to focus on Christ and use Robert Morris to draw us to Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Use Graham Cook to draw us to Christ. Use Derek Prince or whoever it might be to draw us to Christ. We're to be more like Christ. You see, if we're more like Christ, what will happen is that we will reflect the image of Christ. And that's what we're called to do. Now, this series that we're doing on positioning, I'm trying to bring my ramble today all back into focus. This series that we're doing, it's all about stepping up into what God has for us. It's not about, you know, doing more for God or anything like that. It's about just being available to God so that He's able to take us and raise us up into what He has designed for us in 2020. All right? There's no shame, no guilt attached to that. Okay? Because we're going to be the people that God wants us to be, filled by the power of the Spirit, able to, like we sang, Mike, shine the light. You know, it says, Jesus, shine your light. Well, you know, you could take the word Jesus out there and you could put Philip in there. You could put Mike in there because that's what we're meant to be. We're meant to be a people who are out amongst the world, nothing more than a whimpering devil, right? Because we are shining the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world that we are called to. Hallelujah. Right? That's what He wants. That's what He wants. So, I want to draw it to a close now. How can we measure this? We had Greg Metzger asked us some questions. What can we do to be more Christ-like? George Bowen last week, he said, what's the one thing that I can do, whether it be in my family, whether it be at my place of work, whether it be at school, what's one thing that I can do just to make Christ known? What's one thing that I could do? Right? We can measure ourselves like that. But when I was flicking the switch to get the stuff to go from Tamil to English and then from English back to Tamil, I noticed something. What it is, and this is where some people might get a little bit antsy about it, because you see, often when it comes to things of God, what we do is we kind of just expect it to happen. Sometimes people don't like us getting intentional about the things of God. And so here I am talking about becoming more Christ-like. So how could we become more intentional about becoming more Christ-like? And that's a pretty hard question, isn't it? How do you measure humility? How do you measure kindness? How do you measure love that's displayed to other people? How do you measure these kinds of things? Right? Well, I've got an article here that I'm not going to give to you until the very end, because I know you guys are going to read this, and it'll be like the time I was preaching next to a fish and chip shop. You know, the smell, like over here, the Thunderbird, sometimes the smell. You walk out of here, and you can smell the onions of the Thunderbird. It's like the leeks. It's like the leeks and garlic of Egypt. We want to go there. All right? You know, have any of you here gone out the door, smelt the Thunderbird, and just automatically gone, joom, joom? Have you ever done that? Down, you've done that too? Oh, I thought bass players were really holy. Am I wrong? Yeah. So I know that if I give this out, you guys are going to read it, and I will have lost you immediately. So I'm going to give it out to you right at the very end. But I want to now just warn you. This article is called My Spiritual Growth Plans. Now, you're going to have it in your hand, Brian. So it's going to be Brian's spiritual growth plans. I'm going to have one in my hand, so it's going to be Philip's spiritual growth plans. The idea is that I never swap this article with you. It's yours, you see. And what's mine is mine. All right? I'm not meant to compare myself with anybody else. I'm not to try and do somebody else's for them. We're tempted to do that sometimes, aren't we? You know, we tend to judge other people, and it's just nothing good will come out of judging other people ever. Okay? You'll get tripped up sooner or later, believe you me. Don't ever judge other people. And so here we are, got this article here, and it's going to be Philip's spiritual growth plans. And a spiritual growth plan, isn't that something that's just meant to happen? Well, yes, but I think we're meant to be intentional about spiritual growth beyond just saying, oh, I want to grow spiritually. Oh, I want to grow spiritually and then do nothing about it. All right? Greg has already said, well, there are some things. There's this scripture memorization, there's reading of the scripture, there's worship, there's prayer, there's fellowship. You guys are picking up on fellowship with the breaking of bread. That's really important. You know, they're things that will develop our spiritual growth. Spiritual growth plans. Yeah, I think we're meant to grow spiritually, and I think we're meant to have a plan to grow spiritually. But goes on to say at the very top of this article, before you read this article, understand that by reading it, you enter into great spiritual battle. Therefore, before you start, commit to one, put to death the works of the sinful flesh. Scripture, Romans 8:13. Number two, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on Philip, not on Bob, not on Tony, not on anybody else that's here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'll tell you something else. If you put your eyes on yourself, you'll go down into that shame pit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking up. Don't look down. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes on Jesus and wield the weapons that he's given to us. Prayer, faith, the word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, whole raft of scriptures after that. And then the last thing is, as we make ourselves available to God, accept his discipline. Yeah. Gee, I find it so hard to get that word out. Discipline's not a nice word. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Hang on a minute. That's a very warped view of discipline. Yeah. Oh, no, this is the old man speaking. Come on, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you know the discipline of God takes us higher, not lower? The discipline of God, just submit to the discipline of God and you watch where he takes you. You watch where he takes you. What did he do? What did the waiting father do with the prodigal son? He set him a table and fed him. You take this article that I'm going to give you, and you think of that. This morning, Greg, he had a word, and he stood up and he says, I believe there's some people here that need to know God is not angry with you. There's some people here, he said, that need to know that God is not mad at you. There's some people here that need to know that God loves you, and he's calling to you to draw you in, not to drive you away. The Scots, when they talk about the parable of the prodigal son, they talk about the parable of the waiting father. Puts an entirely different perspective on it, doesn't it? The parable of the waiting father. There's a father that's waiting for you. And he wants you to come into his table, and he wants you to sit down and to sup with him. He wants to be in fellowship with you. With you. He wants you to radiate him. And he can't do that if he's not in you. He can't do that if you haven't made yourself available to him. Can't do that if you're wrapped up in shame and guilt and in a pit. God wants you out of the pit. He wants you walking out these doors. He wants you hopping in your car. He wants you driving down this road, and he wants you radiating him. He wants you. You were created in the image of God. You are image bearers of God. And Jesus Christ came and he said, it's finished. And that's what he was referring to. That's what he was referring to. This is good news. And as George Bowen says, keep the main thing. And as Paul says, what I received from the Lord, I gave to you as first importance. And this is exactly what he was talking about. All right, are you ready for this article? Okay, I need two people. Tony, would you help me? And Brian, would you help me too? I want you to go down the back and start from the back. All right? Because I might run out, and I don't mind so much if none of the Minches get this. Or Bob and Lucy. Because I know they have a plan. All right? Okay. Glory to God. One of the scriptures that I had in this challenge to become more Christ-like is Philippians chapter 2, 14 through 16. I read it this week. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. I read it this week. I needed to read it this week. What about you? What sort of week did you have? Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you become blameless and pure. Wow! You're smiling at me, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's got it up. Oh, Isaiah, you're such a wonderful guy. Children without fault in a warped and crooked generation in the dung heap of this world. This is Paul writing. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. See, I'm no New Age teacher. Oh, you're shining like lights in the sky and all that kind of stuff. No. I'm Pauline. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Holy Spirit-inspired words. Not just Paul. Holy Spirit-inspired words. The power of grumbling. Arguing. Don't grumble, don't argue, and you'll become blameless and pure. Children of God without fault. Wonderful, isn't it? The fact is that the church of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones of God. How many people here, if I said, you know, called out ones of God, how many of you identify with being one of the called out ones of God? You identify? I hope everybody in this room can say, I'm a called out one of God. Do you know what? The thing about the called out ones of God is that we're carefully placed and planted by God to reflect God in this world we're in. If we make ourselves available to God, if next week we've got the young people who are going to lead the service, make sure you come to that service. Don't say, oh, well, it's a young people's service, so it's all just for young people. No. They do that on Tuesdays. They're doing this for us, all right? And it's going to be really good. We're going to be able to support them, and they're going to see that people love them, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a communion service too. And so that's another reason to be here. So 9 and 11 next Sunday, where the youth people, the youth leaders and so on, they're leading church. And the fact of the matter is that this is something that's been written in the annals of time for them to do. So for such a time as this, like I said before, the ecclesia is carefully placed, planted by God to reflect God, and in so doing to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. The desires that this world has, the lusts of the flesh, the temptations of the devil. We are planted carefully along. That's from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 or 4, I believe it is. That we're carefully planted by the Lord alongside people in this world so that the works of the enemy are destroyed in their lives. How? Not by us being supermen, but by us just being who we are, designed by God, understanding our design, and being available to God to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that we are useful to Him. Uniquely useful. Uniquely useful. How do you like that? Uniquely useful. See, there's people who are just going to be naturally averted to me. But they're not going to be averted. They're going to find you a pleasant person. God can use that. You see? Did I hear you snorting there? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were snorting. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who are averted to you. But it's true. There are people that you know, naturally, we just don't hit it off, right? But there are other people that they do. They're the people that God will use for them. Uniquely gifted, designed and gifted by God. And so the youth group's going to be doing next week. And then the week after that, I believe it's Super Bowl Sunday. And we're going to be finishing this thing about being positioned. And I just want to leave you with a thought with regard to that day. And here's the thought. That if Jesus is the quarterback and we're His receivers, if we ain't there, it's going to be incomplete. If we're not in position, it's going to be incomplete. God wants completions. Amen. Father, I want to thank You for, Lord God, ministering to us this morning prophetically, ministering to us through music, and worship through the words of those powerful songs. Father, I thank You that, Lord, You are a waiting Father that welcomes us to Your table, that takes the best of Your land, the fatted calf, and sits down with us and sups with us and fellowships with us. And, Lord, not only that, You don't keep us at the table, as it were, but, Lord, You commission us. We're called out ones. And You send us out, Lord God, to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. To bring life and health and happiness and hope to the people that You've planted us amongst. Lord, there are times when we don't even have to say a word. We just have to be Jesus in this warped and perverse generation. Shining like lights in this warped and perverse generation. Receive it, folks. Receive it. Can you receive it? Can you receive it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not warped. You're not perverse. You're a shining light. You're a shining light. You're a shining light, bringing hope to this generation of people that You've been carefully planted amongst. Amen. Folks, Just go and be Christ-like.